the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, I missed all you guys. I felt naked and what is that? What's that scripture? I didn't know that I was wretched and naked and whatever that is in that scripture. That's why I felt yesterday when we couldn't get Google up and operating. Took me back to my old terrestrial radio days when I just sat in a studio and didn't know if anybody was with us or not. Hoped the phone calls would come in so I didn't have to dialogue by myself for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it was. But yesterday about 10 minutes before the show began, Jared phones me and says, "Hey, Coach, something going on. The Hangouts isn't working." I said, "What?" "Yeah, they're not working." He said, "We're going to do it on Skype." I said, "Skype? Yep, we're going to do it on Skype." "Will there be a queue?" "No, there won't be a queue." "You mean it's just going to be me?" "Yeah, it's just going to be, wow." So at the last minute, and listen, I want you to think about this. What would it be like if Jared clicked a button and said live, and you had to talk for an hour without any preparation? That's what happened to me all of a sudden. Now, I had preparation. I'd done some show prep, and I was ready for my show prep, but it included visuals. And we just weren't able to do that yesterday. So we cut the show back a little bit. I still thought it was a good show and a good message. But I want all of you to know how important you folks out there are to this show. It is the cue that makes this show unique. And although I could talk for a long time, it's just not the same. So welcome back to all of us. We'll try to get up and rolling. I got a lot of stuff to share with you. National Day of Prayer event yesterday in St. Clairsville, Ohio. I got to speak down there. I got a couple emails. This is a new microphone, folks. It's not a blank spot on your screen, okay? This is a new microphone that we got for a little bit better quality. So you can quit sending me emails on that. Somebody got a black hole in my chest or something here. And that's not what it is at all. A couple things that real quick I want to hit on. Louisville. We're going to Louisville, Kentucky next weekend. And we're going to go. Bobby Lee has organized it. And again, as I said, Bobby Lee organized the event in Pennsylvania, up in the Allentown area. And Bobby's home roots are down in the Louisville area, and he wanted to do the same thing down there. So it's really the first version of a Kentucky Salt and Light Brigade meeting. And we have about probably 20 who've confirmed with us now. So we'd still love for you to come. Friday night, we're going to do a little bit of a teaching, a little bit of get together at the hotel. And that stuff's all, Jared's got it up there on the screen for you. I'm always a little bit behind Jared. The huddle right there. And then Saturday morning, we're going to go to the last remaining abortion clinic in Louisville, Kentucky. We have others that are going to join us there. And this is where 2 years ago, this was Bobby's vision. 2 years ago, 11 people were arrested there for trying to rescue unborn babies. And the anniversary of that is May 11th. So we're going to be down there Friday night, Saturday morning. We'll probably grab a lunch after Saturday, after we're done down there. And then we're going to take off. And for those of you who just want to come just to the abortion clinic, maybe you're down in that area, we're going to get there about 6:30 in the morning. So Michelle Davis, if you want to come, sweetie, you're going to get up early and get down there and be with us, but you're welcome to come down and join us. So that's going to be May 10th. That's next Friday and Saturday. And again, if you come and just give us an idea, just email us and let us know. Yeah, Coach, we're going to be there. And then on that same weekend, this is what I like about the Salt and Light Brigade, David Arthur and Denny and the crew, they're going to have a huddle up in, it's not actually a huddle. It's a showing of David Arthur's movie, the one that Tom Dunn put together for him. And David, I always forget the name of the movie. What I get unplanned in my head, said, "No, that's not it." And then I get the Reliant in my head, and I get
Fire and Brimstone.
Thank you, man. Fire and Brimstone is going to be debuted at Iowa. So if you're in that Iowa area, get over there next weekend up there and help support them. You can help support David when you guys get there and Tom Dunn by purchasing one of those videos. And I have to be honest with you, I haven't done that yet and haven't seen it yet. Looking forward to it. David's going to give us a great testimony, folks. I want you to make sure you hang in. In fact, you ought to tell somebody else to tune in. Those of you who missed David's show yesterday, a powerful testimony. Another one. This guy has testimony after testimony of what's going on in his life. So David's going to join us here in a second and talk about that. Okay. And then don't forget, we could go down through the whole thing, but all hands on deck. Don't miss that. June 14th. Guys, that's less than a month away. June 13th and 14th. We've got a really full weekend, and it's just going to be a great time. We're going to get a big tent. It's going to be awesome. You can give us some more information about that. So you have to buy a ticket. Say, why do you have to buy a ticket? Because we're going to give you three meals in there as well. Three meals and a couple of breakfasts for $30. Pretty good deal. Take care of your meals there, okay? Cool. Gary Pierce. You guys heard that name before? Need to pray for Gary. This is not a joke. Gary wrecked his bike. Now, Gary doesn't ride bikes like you and I ride bikes with those bells on them. Ding, 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 ding. That's not the kind of bell that bike that Gary rides. Gary's an accomplished bike rider. He rides bike trails. He goes on 3-4 day events. He bikes hundreds of miles. Well, last weekend, whatever day it was, Gary, I forget. Maybe it was today's Friday. I think it was Wednesday. Maybe it was Tuesday. Gary's out for a bike ride. Said he knew better. He knew he shouldn't have been doing it. And he was out on his 85 speed, whatever those kind of bikes have, and coming around a corner at a pretty good clip, and that had been raining a little bit, and the ground, the blacktop was wet, and he knew better. And as he came around the corner, the wheels went out from under it. Gary tumbled off, landed on his back, broke his collarbone. Gary has to have surgery. I don't know when. I guess I don't have exactly when it is to have the bone reset. He's really banged up and bruised up. Luckily, he had a hat on, helmet, not a hat. Gary is 67 years old. He looks like he's 12. And you know, I'm 66, so Gary's a lot older than me, like maybe 6 months older than me. And I can't imagine what that would be like to be able, first of all, be able to ride a bike like that, but then to crash like that. Luckily, he said he had a friend with him. He was really banged up. So we'll find out more about Gary's surgery. I don't think it's this weekend, but put Gary in your prayers.
Gary's a hell of a guy. You know that?
Listen to this one. Gary sent me a text message. We're doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes here at Coach Dave Live. And to be honest with you, a lot of it's being done by some volunteers. Although Gary does work for us a little bit, it's just kind of I throw him a bone now and then, right? But Gary has been taking all the videos that I've made. I'm trying to find the number that you said here, Gary. It's like 1,000 videos that I've made, and he's categorizing them because we're going to be doing some other things with our website. So he's going through every one of those 1,000 videos and is reviewing them. So now that he's got a broken collarbone, he's going to be sitting around on his butt, which will be hard for Gary. He's going to get a lot of those things cataloged. So Gary, we're praying for the man and feel bad about it. Let me see. Anything else? Anybody, sort of a Flea Flicker Friday, and since we didn't have a show on Tuesday, before we get to David Arthur, anybody got anything you want to flip out there for us real quickly?
Hey.
By the way, hang on. Sure. Go ahead. Go ahead, Benny.
Harry's a hell of a guy. Last year at the conference, he offered me his bed when you guys let me stay the night so I could work with on, and then you know I didn't. I turned up getting my own bed, but you know he offered a bed, which is great. I mean, he's a heck of a guy. So,
Gary's a Christian. Yeah. I don't know if you guys ever run into one of those or not.
A real one.
Gary's a Christian. So, Gary, we're praying for you there. anything else? I know what I was going to say. Jeff Nell just commented on the fact that he used the commentary I wrote yesterday. Folks, if you didn't get a chance to see that or read that, the commentary I wrote yesterday, do you still believe in miracles? Well, whatever it was. Do you believe in miracles? It's worth a read. It's worth a share because I believe it's a profound indictment upon the church. See, the supernatural, my friends, the supernatural is expanding everywhere we look. You look at, we now have witches openly casting spells. The demonic has come out of the closet. And you know what's going to draw people? I didn't put this in the commentary just because I didn't know how to really to fit it in. We're losing our children because they're being drawn to the supernatural. They see supernatural events happening with the demonic. They don't see supernatural events happening with Christianity, although they're happening all the time. If they don't have the eyes to see and the understanding, they don't recognize them. And unfortunately, the supernatural is no longer a part of the church. Roger, any supernatural stuff going on out there at that big church that you're going to? A lot of healings and casting out devils and laying hands on the sick. Jared, maybe we need to pull that up there so people don't think we're crazy. That's Mark. Is it 14? Go ahead, Roger. Has that been going on in your church here, Roger?
Well, no. And again, what did we
Mark
learn on
16,
the huddle?
Jared.
What did we learn in the huddle about a month ago? One of the things that Jesus instructed the disciples to do was to cast out demons.
Not only that, Roger, it's Mark 16. Jared, go down to the very end of it. I got it up on the screen for you right here, right now. Jesus is leaving them, right? And he said unto them, go ye, verse 15, go ye into all the world. Don't go to church. Don't go to church. Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. Time out! What gospel? What gospel? How about the same gospel that Jesus himself preached? How about the same gospel that John the Baptist preached? The gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of heaven. How about preaching that gospel? He said, go preach that gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And you're going to recognize those who believe in me, because here's what's going to be following them everywhere they go. In my name, they're going to cast out devils. They're going to speak with new tongues. They're going to take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Boys, you see much of that? Is it any wonder that the God haters are now investing in the supernatural? They believe in it. And the current church as it is, has no answer to that problem. Look at this beautiful little thing. It just came down. She spent the night with me, little Reese. Come on in. And Larry, you had said something earlier, Larry, about the importance of obedience. Can you share that with us, bud?
Yeah, you know, yesterday on your program, you mentioned about the power. We have the power to do everything that Jesus did, because he gave us that authority when he went and left to be with the Father. But it's not a question of having the power. It's a question of being like Jesus. Now, Jesus got his results in his ministry not because of his power per se. I mean, he had the power. I don't deny that. But he got his results because of his obedience. Jesus let us know in the book of John that he didn't do anything the Father didn't show him to do. He didn't say anything the Father didn't give him to say. So Jesus' results were a result of his obedience to doing what the Father said, when the Father said, how the Father said. And our manifestation of our power will come about via the same root, our obedience. Will those who believe shall cast out all, you know, do greater works than he. And part of believing is acting on the things you believe. And
Amen.
Acting on the things you believe is a direct derivative of your obedience on what you believe.
Amen, brother. You'll know them by their fruits. My little granddaughter Reese came down there, because this is kind of signs and wonders Friday. If we've ever had such a thing, I'm going to talk about some different signs and wonders here. My little granddaughter Reese, she had a little bit of a miracle she'd like to tell you about. Go ahead, Reese. I can hear you.
So we were just walking in the woods, me and my friends. So Bentley was the oldest, and then Emerson, his sister, and then
speak
I
loudly.
Was there. And then we were walking through the woods, and we just found this tree. We didn't know it was dead. Bentley said he wanted to climb it. Emerson said, sure. But I wasn't really sure, because it looked kind of like it was going to fall soon. And so Bentley climbed first, then Emerson. And I was a little hesitant, but I finally climbed up. And so The next thing I knew, I heard this crack in the tree. I come down. It fell on Emerson's back, Bentley's shin, and luckily it didn't land on any part of my body. I just took off running, and I was screaming, "Mom, Mom, Mom!" I heard Bentley screaming because it had really hurt. Emerson, with her back, she lifted it off, though. So she really did that with the Lord. And then the two moms came running, and so my mom got the Gator, our little vehicle, and so she went and she got it stuck, but she was trying to get Bentley out, but she couldn't because it was stuck. And then Miss Tasha, that's Bentley and Emerson's mom, she came and she prayed over him. And the next thing, so they had to take turns carry him through the woods. And then when they got in the car, we were just sitting there like, what should we do? And then next thing we heard from them was Bentley had a broken leg. And that's really all we've heard from them.
But the miracle, one of the miracles was Reese didn't get up in there and nobody got killed when that tree came down. That we got a bunch of woods around us here. So they were back there being kids. And isn't it amazing that when it happened, the first thing that the young kids did was turn to the Lord and pray. Train up a child in the way he should go. That's what we need to do. Bless you, Reese. Bless you, Reese.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Train them up so they believe in the supernatural at a young age. They believe it at a young age. It becomes part of who they are. We don't immediately say, well, let's take them to the doctor and give them some medicine. The first thing they do is turn to prayer, lay hands on the sick and see him recover. We don't think that way. We have to begin to think that way. So on that note, I'm going to pull aside here and I'm going to let David Arthur. Thanks, Reese. I'm going to let David Arthur come in here, talk about, if you didn't hear it yesterday, it's unbelievable. His profound testimony of what happened to him. David, come on in here, brother.
Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. You know, I just wanted to piggyback off of what Larry was saying, too, is, you know, love is obedience. And the scriptures tell us that love is the fulfillment of the commands. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. So love is obedience. When we talk about truth in love, it's in obedience. If as long as we're in obedience to God's will, that's love.
Hey, David, teeth are looking good, man. David got some new teeth. It shows us. Hey, all right, man.
Hey, I'm trying not to smile too much because somebody told me I actually had a Joel Osteen smile yesterday.
I wasn't good
with that.
I mean, what's going on?
But, you know, Coach, I wanted to I'm gonna start from the beginning. Ever since I lost all the weight, I had the appendectomy, you know, my appendix ruptured. That's when they found out 2 days after that there was two hernias down below my groin. They fixed them. So ever since I've lost that weight for the past few years, I've had this problem with the hernia in my chest. And it's just been getting worse and worse. And so finally we did a CAT scan. And the radiologist here, Jared, if you can pull up just the text.
Hey, David, stop right there a second, David. I just got an email from Don Marshall. His wife Cheryl is having a lot of pain. They're both great, faithful Christians. And they're waiting for a CAT scan on Monday. She started that pain study when she's down in Florida working with fixing the houses down there with Jim Kraft. David, would you lift her up to the Lord right now, brother?
Mm.
Hey, listen, we believe in miracles here, folks. We believe in miracles. Lord, touch
her. What's his wife's name?
Cheryl.
Cheryl. Lord, we just ask that you would just rest your hands upon Cheryl, upon this whole situation. We know that you are a God that is still in the miracle business. We know that you are a God that will be glorified in, with, and through every situation. Lord, we ask that you would just reach in and that you would just turn things around for your glory, that whatever this CAT scan reads won't even matter.
Amen.
Because you'll do surgery before their surgery. Just like you've done so many times. You've done it through me. You've done it through thousands and thousands of others. And Lord, we just ask that you would just completely envelop them in your Holy Ghost, and that you would just have your way and give them peace, comfort, and understanding through your way and your will in this whole entire situation, and that you would just touch them and show everyone around them that you are still God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bless you, Don. Cheryl. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So just the CAT scan result was like there was a left renal cyst, which is a cyst, I guess, in or by the kidney. There was a broad-faced thinning of some abdomen muscle, which is where they thought the, well, where they said there was either one of two things going on in my chest. It was either a hiatal hernia or a severely torn muscle. See, they seen the umbilical hernia. That was by my belly button. Bladder wall thickening, completely distended. So lumbar scoliosis seen, stable left renal cyst. So
quit that talking was like that, Peter. Quit talking like that.
Yeah, that was some of the text, right? So that was from the radiologist. And so I went to the hospital and got the results, got my disc, the images, and I took them to my doctor in at OSU. And I asked her, because it's her specialty, if she would look at them as a favor to me. She said, yeah, David, there's definitely an umbilical hernia, and there's either a torn muscle or a hiatal hernia, plus your appendix, and not your appendix, your liver is attached to the wall and will have to be detached. She said, but we wouldn't be able to get you in for at least a month or two. So when I went to the doctor here in Mount Vernon, and she told me the same thing when she looked at the images. And so she could do the surgery sooner. So I said, okay, let's get it over with and get it done with, because I need to be about my father's business. And so I go, okay, now I'm going to really go back to last Sunday. I went to Pastor Mike's Spalding's congregation, and he anointed me with oil, and his entire flock laid hands on me and prayed over me. And then Monday, I was in the juice bar at Wendy's Juice Bar. That's Wendy. She's Russ Dizdar's team. Went in there. Me, her, and Megan prayed. We prayed specifically for the doctor, for Dr. Jacobs. And then 30 minutes after I left, Wendy calls me and says, guess who just came into my store? I said, ooh. She goes, the doctor that we just prayed for. She says she'd never been in here before. Huh. How about that? The Lord's listening. Yeah. So I go into the hospital. Now, this is something that I didn't pick up until yesterday, Coach. When I went back, Rick Miller took me. And they told him how to look at the monitor. They say, when he's in the pink, you can go back. That means he's, you know, he's all changed out and you can go back. And then when he goes into the yellow, that's when they take him down. And then into the green is surgery. So Ricky said, as soon as they called me back, 2 minutes later, I was in the green. He said, so he was wondering, how did he go right into surgery? Maybe something happened. Maybe they had a cancellation. I don't know. He even asked the nurses at the station. They didn't know. So, but let me tell you this, Coach. Right after I went back, I was alone in the room in the back for 10 to 15 minutes praying and talking to God, laying hands on myself and praying. So Ricky ran home and came right back. And 15 minutes later, I was no longer in surgery on the monitor. I was in the pink now. So the nurse went and got him. She's like, I don't know why he hasn't come back. He said, I didn't come back because he was marked as in surgery. And they couldn't figure out why. Okay. Another coincidence or mishap, right? I go into the holding right before surgery and I say to the doctor, I said, so you were in the juice bar Monday. She goes, did you see me? I said, no. She says, well, how do you know I was there? I said, because 30 minutes before you went in, I was in there and we were praying for you, for your team, and for this procedure. And all these nurses and anesthesiologists that are in there with her are all looking at each other. They're smiling. They're like, wow. I says, and so we prayed. You came in. She goes, I've never been in there. I'd never even been able to get there. She said, because their hours don't coincide with mine. She said, but I found myself across the street getting something notarized. Came out, I saw their awning, and something led me to go over there now, or I probably wouldn't make it in there anytime soon. I said, oh, of course. And then the doctor looked at me and said, well, praise the Lord. Somebody up there wants you to know he's listening to you. I said, actually, I think he wants all of us to know that he's listening.
Mm.
So she says, David, you know, We're going to do the umbilical hernia and then a possible open surgery. And you may have to spend a night or two, depending on if it's a torn muscle, you'll be here for a couple of nights. Otherwise, you know, you'll probably go home today if it's just the hiatal hernia. And depending on how bad your liver is attached, you might have to stay a couple nights. I said, well, you know, that's really not up to you, right? And she goes, yeah, obviously. We go back. I wake up in the recovery room, coach, and here's this nurse. I'm trying to get up. She's like, oh, could you, do you need pain medicine? I was like, no, I'm not in any pain. I just need a bathroom. And she's like, well, let me help you because you're balanced. I said, look, just put the side of this bed down. I need a bathroom. So I grab my little pole with the IV and I walk to the bathroom and they're all looking at me like I'm crazy. I come back, I hop up in the bed, I'm laying there. She goes, you sure you don't need any pain medicine? I was like, no, I'm not in any pain. She goes, well, the doctor is out speaking to your brother, you know, Ricky Miller, he was out there. And she says, and she, the doctor's giving him your images and everything. She said, you've caused a little confusion around here. I said, what do you mean? I thought, automatically, I thought they were all up in arms because I was giving everybody testimony. Everybody that I came into contact with, I was giving them a full testimony. And they were all so engaged that they couldn't even move and do their job. And so I thought, oh, no, now they're all in the back talking about get that homo hater out of here. And she says, well, she says, your chart reads umbilical hernia definite, with a possible open surgery, possible stay. She says, the doctor, and I'm going to quote you, she says, but I'm going to quote her. She says, but the doctor made one small incision, inserted her camera to see where she was going to start first, and said that your insides are beautiful and there's nothing wrong with you. She said, there's no hernias, no torn muscle, no scarring, no scar tissue. No, the liver is fine. It looks beautiful. It's right where it's supposed to be. She says, there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. She said, and the doctor said that if she didn't take those images, she wouldn't believe that those images were your insides at your age with your medical history. She said, she even put the camera down below in your groin where you had prior hernia repairs, and there's no scarring there, and it looks beautiful. She says, it's pink, it's bright, it's vibrant, it's brand new. And I looked at her and said, well, of course, that's my God. And then she says, well, I want to hear more. And so there I am testifying again. So then I'm in post-op. And I have this other nurse, and she's got her eyes are welled up with tears. She says, I got to go. I'm going to cry. But then she came back on off her lunch and says, I'm on lunch right now, but I just wanted you to know that if I don't get a chance to see you before you leave, thank you so much. You are amazing. This is all amazing. I can't get over what's happening. She's like, and please keep telling your story. So, coach, so there was two elderly women across the hallway waiting for one of their friends or waiting for somebody. I didn't know who or nothing, but they kept looking over and smiling because they were hearing me talk, me and Ricky talking. I'm loud. I'm giving God all this glory. I'm like, I came in here to get these hernias. God removed them before the doctor could get to them and this and that. And so they're looking and I said, would you like prayer? They were like, sure. I was like, come on over. So they came over, we prayed loudly in the post-op, and I didn't know anything about who they were waiting for, but the Lord gave me the words, and I told them that the Lord wanted them to know that their friend, that she would be just fine, and she would have a miraculous recovery, and they were just amazed, and as soon as I was done, we were done. This nurse came with a wheelchair coach, and she goes, she's wheeling me down the hall, and she goes, I've been hearing about you for the past hour. I said, really? She goes, yeah. Both nurses stations are buzzing all about your testimony and what God has done. And I was like, really? She goes, yeah. She's like, a lot of people are really, really, really talking. They don't understand what's going on. She says, and so all the nurses, coach, my intake nurse, my recovery nurse and both of my post-op nurses met me at the end of the hallway. The one came back off of lunch again. to meet me at the end of the hallway. Ricky's like, if I didn't see this for myself, David, I wouldn't believe it. He's like, everybody else has the people that came to get them, pushing them out. And here you got nurses waiting for you with this big bon voyage at the end of the hallway, thanking you, telling you how wonderful this was, how great it was to meet you, how amazing your testimony is, to please keep telling your testimony because everybody needs to hear it, and how amazing of what happened today was. And the nurse that was pushing me out says, and because I told everybody, I said, I'm going to drop off some books for y'all tomorrow. Nurse says, can I get one of those books? I'll buy one. I was like, no, I'll drop you off one. She says, well, thank you. So my daughter was is a lesbian, and I didn't think she could be anything but a lesbian until I heard your story.
Wow.
I was like, well, I'll drop you off too. And
so folks, listen, folks, don't miss this. Don't miss this connection. The church, see, the Bible tells us that an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. We're in the midst of that, are we not? We're in the midst of an evil and adulterous generation, and they're looking for something. They're looking for something to believe in.
Yes.
Right? They're looking for the supernatural. Where is the supernatural? Why is there no... You understand that when Jesus walked the earth and performed miracles, everywhere he went, it was the supernatural that drew people to him. Otherwise, they couldn't have cared less what he said. But he walks into a town and he lays hands on a lame man. And he gets up and walks, and people say, wow, I want to know some more about this.
Right.
What is going on here, right?
You want to know something that was just what you said, proof positive. Roger called me yesterday while I was on my way to the hospital to drop the books off. So I was talking to Roger, telling him all the happenings the day before and what happened. And I'm standing outside the door. There's a woman sitting on the bench. She's got her balloons, her tape on her arm, her little stuffy. She just got discharged. It's very obvious. She's waiting to get, you know, for her ride or whatever. But she's just smiling away, listening to me tell Roger about the miracle God performed. Oh, and so I ran in. I dropped the books off. When I came out, she was there and she looked at me. I said, you have a good day. She goes, would you pray for me?
Mm.
And I looked like, I mean, I started feeling my neck like, do I have a collar on or something? But and I looked at her kind of odd, but I said, of course. And she goes, I just heard you talking on the phone about your miracle, and I think that you could pray for me. And so I prayed for her. And it hit me yesterday. And I saw Ricky and Vicky, they were out eating, and I stopped to talk to them. I said, Ricky, think about what happened yesterday on that monitor. He said, you mean when they had you in surgery, when you weren't in surgery? I said, they didn't have me in surgery. I was in that room for 10 to 15 minutes by myself, praying and laying hands on myself. Mm. And that monitor showed me in surgery. And when I was done praying, I went back to being in intake because the Lord did surgery before they could do surgery.
Amen. Jared, pull up that Matthew 16 again. Matthew 16 again.
And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, shall they cast out devils.
Shall they lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Not a maybe, right? Where have we lost the supernatural? It's supposed to be everyday stuff, right? Jared, pull that up there. Maybe you have. I'm sorry. I'm not finding it. Let me get up here on my screen. I'm sorry. Sorry, folks. This is emotional to me, man. Just think about that. Think what the world would look like if Christians were this picture here. And then a better question is, why are we not? Did Jesus lie to us? Is there something wrong with God? Didn't Jesus say, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father? Didn't he say that? Are we seeing that? Do you go into your local church and even talk about demons, let alone casting them out? Do they poo-poo and make fun of speaking with new tongues? That's what I see. I see it right there. What do you do? Do you erase that? Do you do what they do with the Mueller report? Do you black that out? Is that redacted? And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They don't add in the average church. No, they're letting devils in.
That's right.
Shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
Coach, the reason, like you said, them devils are coming in the church is because they have the mentality where we don't hate any. We welcome everybody in. Yeah, you not only welcome everything in, you welcome all their devils and demons right along in there with them.
That's right. And God ain't going to come in with those things, right? We're inviting into the church things that the Lord doesn't want in the church.
Hey, Coach, here's a real simple, listen, God is doing plenty of testimonies, but on Wednesday night, we have prayer. 7:14, we start praying. So we have a lady who comes in. She's a black lady, and she always sets up the communion for us. Now, we don't take communion in an unworthy manner. We really recognize the Lord. And so she's doing the communion. I said, well, look, Ms. Judy, I said, my wife's not going to be here. I know this person, so we really don't need that many. Brother, she looks at me. She goes, by faith. She goes, I'm making more. Brother, we get ready to start in a family of seven walk into the church, brother. And man, when their kids came in, these weren't just people off the street, unruly kids. Their 9-year-old blew my mind when he began to pray. Brother, he had his hands up in the air. And brother, these people said, we have lived in this area for over a year. But tonight, God compelled us to walk here and come into this church.
Wow. Amen. Amen. Amen, Dale.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
David's still in there.
Yeah.
Yep. Hey, David, after you left the car lot yesterday afternoon, I was just amazed. You know what I mean? Just hearing your story. And I asked you, I said, did you get all the records of that? And you said, yeah. And you know, my mechanic, Mark, 24 years old, he's not a Christian. Now he's heard some things and seen some things with me and Ricky and Pastor Bill. He's still not believing. You know what I mean? He's at that age. And I'll be honest with you, and you probably noticed it with him. He never believes anything about you when you come in there. He really doesn't.
I know.
And I keep talking to him, even though he doesn't believe. And you walked out of there, and I went straight out to his toolbox. He was standing out there, and I started telling him. Because he said something about your cologne or something, you know, when you come in the office. And so I started telling him. I said, listen to this. I said, now listen to me. I started telling him. And he's looking at me real weird. And I told him kind of what I could remember. You tell me the story. And then all of a sudden, he looks at me with that look, like eyebrows went up. His eyes got real big. He said, And I said, think about that. And we just left it there, and he was just amazed. You know what I mean? But I had prayer with his dad about 8 months ago, his alcoholism. I was in the hospital and had met mom leave the room. Another woman, I talked to dad. Dad has not drank since then. I mean, and he is a lush. You know what I mean? And he's blown away that his dad's not drinking.
What about the power? Where is the power in the church? An adulterous generation is looking after some power. They want to see some pop to this thing called Christianity. Amen. They don't want just a bunch of rules and regulations and stuff that you have to follow. They want to believe in a living Christ.
You know something too, Coach? I want to throw it in there because I think it's important. A lot of people that do go to these apostate churches or these churches that are not quite in the will of the Father, they say to me, well, I see healings going on. I see healings taking place. So how could my church not be in the truth? Or how could we be an apostate church if I see healings? I think what people need to understand is that the healings that God gives, they're not through the ones that are laying hands on the person. God is honoring that person that's being prayed for. He's honoring their measure of faith. Amen. Not the measure of faith of those apostates that are praying over you. He's measuring your honor of faith because you're truly seeking something because you know that there's something more.
Amen.
And so he's trying to honor your measure of faith. But don't get it misconstrued. because it's not always from the person that's laying hands upon you.
Amen. Amen, David. You know what? I asked that same question of the Lord. I said, Lord, I know these people that are doing this. They're apostates. They're charlatans. And he said, Dale, he says, those who hunger and thirst after me. And he says, those are the people. They're the ones I'm going to be. He says, I'm going to deal with those apostates in my time.
Woo. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hey, Dave, I wanted to say something. You know, we're talking about the, well, I was reading 2 Corinthians 12, all right? Me and Max McLean were, and I come across this word that we need to repent for, of lasciviousness. Lasciviousness. Mm-hmm. Never heard of that word. Okay, but it's a lust. Yep. Lust of the eyes. Lust of the physical flesh. So it was different because it said lust, and it also said lasciviousness. And yes, that's one of our weaknesses with this. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, no, you're right. Lasciviousness is more than lust, but lasciviousness is license without restraint. That's really what it is. Lasciviousness is you think you have the right to do whatever you want to with your own body. We see it's what's abortion, right? What is all this sex stuff we see going on? Lasciviousness, as compared to a word called licentiousness. Licentiousness, if you look in the word licentious, you see license. So licentiousness means they believe they have a license to do whatever they want to. And lasciviousness is doing whatever you want to without any restraint. And believe it or not, that's a partial message that the church is teaching, right? That you can do whatever you want to do, and God's okay with it. He's okay with it. Jared, go real quick to Matthew 16. I did not know this was in Matthew 16. David, that's
why do you need a God if he loves everybody?
Well, why do you need a God if there's nothing supernatural?
I agree.
Right?
And coach, you know what? There's another parable in when Jesus healed the 10 of leprosy. He says, and go tell the priest and report what the Lord has done. He said the 9 went away, the 1 come back, and Jesus looked at him and said, what happened to the other 9? This one falls down and worships at his feet. And the fact of the matter is some of these people will go and they'll, you know, the God will touch or whatever. They think just because God touched them that they're saved and then they can do lasciviousness and live however they want. No, you got to come back now and worship at his feet.
Amen, brother. Amen. Hey, folks, look, this is important. I got Matthew 16 up here. I want to show you something. Remember, if you start at Matthew 16, verse 1, you're going to miss something if you just read chapter by chapter, because chapter 16 begins, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now, folks, look, we lose the context here. Where did they come? The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came. Where? Came where? Jared, go back to 15. Go back at the end of 15, because you lose again the thought. Jesus has just, right there, verse 30, let's start in verse 36. And he just fed the 5,000, right? And he came, verse 36, he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks, broke them, gave it to the disciples to the multitude, and they all ate and they were filled and they took up all the what was left over, and still 7 baskets more. And they did eat with the 4,000 men beside the women, the children. And he sent away the multitude and took to his ship and came to the coast of Magdala. And what happened? The Pharisees and the Sadducees show up. They show up because of what he just did. Word went, what, just like David Arthur, the word spread. This guy just did something miraculous. And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they want to come down. They make sure they got to come down, take a leak on it, right? They can't, they got to hoist their leg. They can't let everything get away with that.
Counterfeits.
And so the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and they tempted him, desired what? How'd you do that, dude? You didn't do that, did you? That wasn't a miracle. It was just raining bread. It was just, that happens every fourth of whatever day, feast day, it just rains bread. And he answered them and said, hey, dudes, look here. When it's evening, you say it's going to be fair weather for the sky's red. And in the morning, you say, well, it's going to be foul weather today for the sky's red and lowing. Oh, you hypocrites. You can see what's going on up in the sky. You can't just see what's going on right in front of you. And then he said, you wicked and adulterous generation, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Now, then he makes this connection here. And he said, he's speaking in generalities here that an evil and adulterous generation needs a sign. And then he directs it right at them. He says, and there shall be no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. He said, dudes, you can't even recognize what's right in front of you. But that's okay, because a wicked and adulterous generation. That's if you need a sign, that shows you're a lost man. You're a lost man. But you know what's happened to us? We found people. We forgot the signs are important. We've forgotten that the miracles are important. We've forgotten that it's the miracles that draw people. We forgot that Jesus is in the supernatural business. We've forgotten we're supposed to be in the supernatural business. Come on in, Vic.
They call it in Spanish, they call it a libertinaje, the lasciviousness. It would be, I've known it as an unhinged hedonism.
It's well put, an unhinged hedonism, an unsatiable desire to do a vulgar thing. There it is, vulgar things. That's going to say
yeah. That. Well, let me say this, Coach. When I was charged, I was charged with lewd and lascivious acts. Wow. That was one of my charges, lewd and lascivious acts. That was a charge.
Right.
In the courts.
How about that? A tendency to excite lust and promote irregular. And hey, David, you know anybody, any irregular indulgences? Webster had a way with words, didn't he? A tendency to excite lust and promote irregular indulgences. Holy Toledo.
Isn't there something, though, now those indulgences aren't so irregular? No, to the world. Yeah, they're common and they're okay, but and so wouldn't that mean that my entire record needs to be erased?
I would say so, brother. To me, it sounds like it's very, very judgmental and hateful.
Yeah.
If you want the truth, right?
If I was still living in it, I'd have the ACLU fighting for me.
Yeah, buddy. What a tangled web we weave, huh? What a tangled web. Somebody else, come on in. We got about 13 minutes here.
Morning, Coach. Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Hey, guys. It's Stephanie from Randolph, Ohio, from Occupying Kitchen. Good morning.
Can you do it? Can you do your thing here in about 10 minutes?
I can do it as quick as I can because I'm always able to share more. Good morning, everybody. God bless everybody.
This is Miracle Friday here.
You're talking my business. You're talking supernatural, guys. I was the one that was run over when I was 12 years old, and I was there, and I got to feel and I got to see. So I've got one of the strongest hearts that you know, because I've been there and I've seen it.
Stephanie was run over by a wagon.
And I was run over by a hay wagon.
Hay wagon. Your eyes actually popped out of your socket. Is that right, Stephanie?
Yes, yes. My skull, literally the top part of my head. I was 12 years old. This is way back before cell phones. It was on a gravel road. There was a bunch of straw in the wagon. It was my aunt's birthday, and there was about 25 people on the wagon. I still talk to a few of the people that were on the wagon. It's kind of funny. But I was sitting on the front of the wagon, long story short, trying to compact it all in. I fell off the front of the wagon. The first wheel went right over my head. I could hear the second wheel coming, crunching on the gravel, and I told myself that I needed to roll out of the way, and I rolled right underneath the second wheel, which went right over my chest, and I kind of like stuck to the wheel like a roadkill, and it kind of like slopped me down, so I ended up face down in the gravel. And mind you, I'm 12 years old. I might have been maybe like 85, 90 pounds soaking wet. My hair was down to my ankles at that time. I had really long hair. My cousin had tried to catch me when I fell, and my hair went right through his hands. So it was this, like I said, everybody at first thought they'd ran over a dog or something. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking down at myself, and it wasn't like floating. It was more like kind of like up enough, like where I would see like a hot air balloon, kind of like about there. And I could see myself, and I could see the whole plan of everybody freaking out, and how they realized that it was me, and they go running down the road, and I could see houses, and miraculously, and I watched my cousin who missed grabbing me. He ran off into the cornfield, and my uncle who was driving the tractor had a heart attack because he thought he killed me because he was driving. And I remember looking over my shoulder, and there was this beautiful, like, pulsing white iridescent light, and I just I kind of went towards the light. It wasn't walking, it wasn't. And at that moment, there was a connectedness with every single person. Like, I knew what everybody was thinking. The house down the road, those people in there, and it was, like, all good. It was just, I understood. It was pure love. It was pure connectiveness. It was just, wow, this is it, man. So I'm there, and the colors are pulsing, moving, rainbow. I just, everything is love. It is just the most intense love. This is home. And there were people there that were relatives of mine that there's no way I could have met. There were animals there that I had recognized. It was the most wonderful. It's like standing in the most warm, perfect sunshine beam after you've been in a cold, cold rain. I don't know how else to make it physically describe it. We don't have words here or even anything here close to what that love and being home is. And God told me that I could either stay there or I could come back. And I knew if I came back, there was going to be something. But at that moment, I just, you know, and everybody there was telling me, no, you know, you need to go back. You know, you shouldn't stay. And all of a sudden, I was hearing my grandfathers talking to me. And at the moment, they were like kind of talking backwards. At that moment, I knew what they were talking about when I came back. Like, for a long time, I couldn't remember. That's a whole other story. But so I'm there, and I all of a sudden see my mother, who's like 2 miles away from where this was at, get in the car. And the car comes flying to my body, and I'm watching this. And I'm feeling all this love, and I kind of want to stay, and I watch my mother go up to my body, and she leans over me, and she starts to cry. She goes, she needs help. And right away, I just knew I wanted to be back. Like, my mom was crying over my body, and my mom didn't cry. My mom didn't really show a whole lot of emotion, so, like, she wanted me back. And it was more like a just all of a sudden falling, and I knew, you know, I just wanted to be back. And so the minute I come to, like, there's, I'm back on the ground, and I'm trying to tell everybody, dude, I just saw you, and I was just in heaven, and blood's coming out of my ear, you know, my eyes, my nose, my mouth, you know, that's back in the day of ambulances.
That'd be a good movie. That'd make a good movie.
Well, it was in the newspaper. I was in the hospital. The good thing, took a while for the ambulance to find us, and a couple hospitals wouldn't take me because I was too traumatized, and ended up going to Akron Children's, where things were healing. They didn't think I was going to make it. They called in the family to tell everybody to say goodbye to me because of my skull trauma, and I have all my paperwork here of all these different blowout fractures of my right orbit, left orbit was intact. Something was smashed in my sinuses, my right cheekbone, my ear, all kinds of issues. I had broken ribs. Over the few days I was there, things started healing on their own, literally. And they couldn't explain it, and they were calling me the miracle child. And,
hey, Stephanie, stop a second. So that everybody knows, Stephanie's a beautiful woman today. She has both eyes, she has a nose, she has teeth, she has everything. She's not. You would think she'd be terribly disfigured. She's not. She's a beautiful.
They used
beautiful.
To call me Treadface in school. They called me Treadface for a long time because for a long time I had I had like a red tread. You know, I had a tire of a hay wagon go over my face with people, and they said my head should have crushed like a grape. They said they couldn't understand why my head didn't just smash. I was a child, a 12-year-old girl.
Just a coincidence.
So I'm always, you know, and it was a long trip from that. I kind of, you'd think I would hit the ground running going great, and I hit the ground running going the other way. And that took me all these years to kind of come back, but that never left me. And I use that, and that is my battery charger, man. You can't take that away from me, no matter how bad things get. I remember that feeling. I have to add this. The closest thing I ever came to feeling that was sitting at an Occupy conference 2 years ago during 2018, listening to Russ Dizdar talking, doing some prayer and preaching, and I felt the exact same tingling in me that I felt that day, and I couldn't get my little butt up to that altar fast enough, and it has been a whirlwind of change since then, and I couldn't be happier. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, all my new brothers and sisters and family. You all inspire me daily. And I'm folks, getting the ground boots on the ground, Coach. Thank you.
Definitely, folks, listen, this is why I always make a big deal about these conferences. It's not so much the good knowledge you're going to get; it's the contacts that you're going to run into, the spiritual that you're going to make. I'm just telling you, folks. God has got so many great people out there and so many great testimonies, and I'm telling you that the power of God is still available to us today. He hasn't shut off the spigot. He hasn't pulled the plug. He ain't taking a nap. The problem is not with him. The problem's on our end of it. We're not making the proper connection, whether it be sin in our life, whatever, could be a lot of reasons why. But we are in the mess that we were in today because the left has stolen the supernatural. They've stolen it from us. Yep. And the same thing that drew people to Christ, the church no longer demonstrates other than love. Hey, by the way, Jared, real quickly, pull back up there, Matthew 16 again, which we just went to. Did you notice the love that Jesus showed to these boys? Let's read through this real quick. Oh, man, I'm about out of time. Notice the love he shares with these boys. He said, hey, boys, it's evening. You guys, you look at the weather and you can tell what's going on in the sky. And in the morning you get up, you tell me what the weather's going to be. You stinking hypocrites. How can you tell the weather if you can't even see what's going on around you? Yeah, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He says, you boys are wicked and adulterous. He said, I ain't going to give you no sign except for the sign of the prophet. He showed him some love right there, didn't he? Yes, sir. He fed that love gospel right to him, right straight in the teeth. And there's no wonder there's no supernatural. We have a phony, fake love in the church. God's building is there, but he ain't coming. Yes.
Hey, Coach, I believe that sign of the prophet Jonah is ISIS, brother. It's pure Islam. That's the sign they're going to get. They're going to get their heads chopped off.
Wow, brother. Woo. That's a perspective on for sure, Alan. Hey, folks, listen, now that Alan spoke up on Monday, we're going to have a great show on Monday. Alan showed me when I was done when we were together down in Florida. He showed me some pictures that he took at the nation's capital in the rotunda of the Capitol building. And we were going to make a presentation on it yesterday. I was going to do it today, but we're going to do it on Monday. Alan's going to show you what's at the top of that rotunda in Washington, D.C. And you're going to be shocked to find out, my friends, that our government's not serving the God we think they're serving. And to understand that the curses that come along upon the people when the government is built on the foundation of serving and worshiping other gods. It's very, very clear. Some of the stuff that Alan has will absolutely, so tune in Monday, you're going to catch it. A couple minutes left. Anybody, anything for the good of the group here today?
Yes. Jared, pull up that Matthew 16 again.
There it is, Joe.
All right, scroll up just a little bit. There we go. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, of the Baptists and of the Catholics, and just go on.
That's right, brother. Beware of that, because why? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And why do we know this? Why is there no power in the church? Little leaven has leavened the whole loaf, boys and girls. Teaching his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. God bless you all. Great story, David. Stephanie, God is great. Jesus Akbar! We'll see you Monday morning.